Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 37 of Juvo Hub. We are so glad to have you with us again today. Another amazing guest for our show. We look forward to introducing her in just a moment. And we are going to talk about networking and how it benefits your career and how to do it in a positive and fulfilling way. So you're going to really, really enjoy our guest who has many years of experience and has stood out as an example for all of us in our industry. But before we introduce her, we have our two tips that we'd like to share with you, our wonderful audience. Again, thank you for being here. We'll kick it over to Mark Howe, Howe Creative Concepts. How are you, my friend? And what is your tip for today?
Yes. Thank you for having me again. And my tip today, I think, is beautiful for the conversation that we're about to have with the lovely Judy Bellick. But my tip is, again, Jonathan, you're more technical. I'm more emotional with my tip. So I've been thinking a lot about this. And my tip for everyone out there is this. When you leave this world, think about this. When you leave this world, will you have left more than you took? So find someone that you can mentor, that you can help grow their career, be something more for someone in this industry, especially, but really just in this world. When I think about what I take from the world or what I take from other people, I ask myself, you know, Mark, one day when you're not here, will you have left so much more for someone else? And so I think, Judy, what we're about to talk about is this seems like something that's right up your alley, because when I think about a lot of our conversations through the years, you are a giver. You give so much knowledge and so much guidance. And so that is my tip for today. And Judy's going to get more into that in a minute.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Yes, I love it. I love your emotional tips, man. Just, you know, if we could, we'd all just like pause for a moment. And yeah, that's awesome, dude. Thank you so much. Well, it does. He gets me a little like, what's the old Saturday Night Live expression? You know, you get a little verklempt.
Is that a little verklempt. Yeah.
Okay. So let me bring it back together. My tip, yes, Mark, is technical. So, you know, Mark and I, we've worked a lot in e-learning together. And so my tip is related to that topic today. Often some try to just take live in-person training and drop it into an e-learning module without really giving the student a whole lot of consideration on how they're going to interact in the same way that there would be so much interaction in a live training environment. So you need to provide that level on an asynchronous type course. So please remember the benefits that come of including activities in your e-learning course, including assignments if they're relevant to the topic. When you do that, you benefit the student by allowing for higher level of retention. So avoid voiceover type PowerPoints with a quiz at the end. The retention level will stay low. But when you include items that can engage the student, engage the learner, they're going to retain much more. And that will benefit you and your company because they will put what is required of them into practice. So that is my tip of the day. And without further ado, I would love to welcome wholeheartedly Judy Bellick. Judy is a 30 plus year veteran in our industry. Mark and I love her to death. We always appreciate so much what she has taught us, how she has helped us, and how she has helped so many in our industry. And what an appropriate topic to see her perspective on the benefits of networking and how it can help you and how it can help others, how it can benefit your career. So Judy, welcome to Juvo Hub. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi guys. Well, I feel quite humbled by that introduction and thank you so much. You know, the two of us both go way back, different paths. And I was super excited that you reached out and asked me to do this. Just for everyone who's watching, a little bit more about my background. Yes, 30 plus years in the industry, plus a few years in another industry. So totally dating myself. And like many of you out there, I actually started my career in the industry with Apartment Guide way back when. before there was even such thing as an internet, right? When it was only books.
Yep.
Fast forward, I've been with some really great companies throughout my career in the industry. A couple of those brought me to meeting both Jonathan and Mark. And today, after amassing what I consider to be a good bit of experience, for the last 4 years or so, I've had my own consulting firm. And happily, I work mostly with startup tech companies in the industry, helping them with domain knowledge. First and foremost, many of them do not come from our industry. And as you guys all know, there's a lot to learn about how to move with grace and successfully in our industry. So I help them with that, along with some of the things that you would think, sales strategy, operations strategy, investment strategy, all of those things. So I've been really lucky to work with some of the great new technologies out there and then be able to do wonderful things like this with two of my friends.
That is awesome. Yes. Thank you so much. I love it. So much years, so much experience. What are we kicking off, Mark? What do we want to give our friend for her opening question today?
You know, I think, Judy, just knowing, like even with my quote and knowing you, one of the topics that I would love to pick your brain on is you are so great at helping other people and helping companies. And you have such grace about you when you do it. I remember coming to you and asking about a resume and, you know, just kind of bumbling with it. And you were so graceful and so helpful. And I can't help but to think about when we're marketing, when we're networking our companies and going to events in this industry, what advice do you give for someone that is trying to network or market their product or company or even themselves? Like, how do you help people navigate through that piece of our industry?
Right. And it is a great question. I think there are a lot of misconceptions about what good networking is in the industry. And good networking is not being overly aggressive. Good networking is not being tunnel focused about what you are trying to accomplish. I think good networking is about recognizing that there are two parties or more involved, right? And that at the end of the day, you want that interaction to be a win-win, right? You want it to be something that's good for both people. What I would say with networking is, to approach any environment you happen to be in where you're going to be interacting with people in a really open way, sort of try to take away that thought process of, okay, I've got to meet people so I can sell stuff, right? Which is how most people approach networking. And instead go to a place of, I'm going to meet people, I'm going to have great interactions, and maybe down the road, this person will be helpful to me and I will be helpful to them. Because it really isn't about what you're trying to accomplish in the moment. It is about really building a whole group of people that you get to know, who you share information with. And I think too many people are just so singularly focused on, well, I've got to meet that VP of multifamily with X company because I got to sell my product and meet my numbers this week. Certainly networking for that reason is important, but it's a lot more than that.
Absolutely. I remember chasing those big goals and beating the streets and trying to get my sales quota before the end of the month. And you're right. I mean, there comes a point when the networking almost, I want to make sure I say this right, being respectful, that we get almost to a place of desperation, right, in our efforts to try to get that sale very quickly. And I think we tend to forget about what we're doing in that desperate moment could be ruining all that work that we tried to put into building that relationship. And what I heard you say was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's build the relationship, you know, let it take time. When I think of networking in this organization, it is all about you know, truly getting to know one another and knowing something personal about them and letting them see you as a truth person. Because when you do come across so aggressive about wanting that sale, it can kill that piece of your networking, right? So right. How do you avoid that? I mean, that's so tricky. Like, because I think we've all been there where we're desperate for that number. So, that's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one. And I think you hit it on the head when you talked about being a person. Mm-hmm. Be a person. I can't tell you how many salespeople I've counseled over the years and said exactly that. Put aside that you are a salesperson, because that can be very off-putting in and of itself, unfortunately. And just think of yourself as an individual. I'm going to meet people. I'm going to put myself out there as a human being, not a salesperson for Apartment Guide or whatever it may be, right? And I'm going to allow myself to be understood and know. Not only are you trying to get to know other people, but you're trying to give people an opportunity to get to know you. And if there's one thing I've learned about this industry, it is that people want to get to know you. They want to feel like they're doing business with someone they like, right? Mm-hmm. That they're not going to mind calling them, that they're not going to mind sitting down in a meeting with, and that they're not going to mind advancing to other people in their organization. The other thing you hit on there, Mark, was truth. I think of that as sincerity in terms of networking and building relationships. If you aren't coming across as a sincere human being, I think the game stops there, right? You have to be sincere in everything that you do. You have to recognize that this person isn't simply a stepping stone to getting where I want to go. This person is another person like me. They have things on their plate. They have pressures. My sense of urgency is not necessarily their sense of urgency. And we all have to recognize that. And I think when we can all get to a place where we're humbled by that thought, and we realize that being a salesperson or a marketer or whatever it is that you do, a leasing agent, it is not about just that, right? It is not about just that goal. It is about you as a human being finding a place in this industry, finding a place in your company. One of the other things I'll say about networking is it has to be more selfless, I think, than most people think of it, right? Mark, you referenced that you called and asked me for help on a resume. And this is when I was a consultant. And I know consultants who would have said, you know what, that's not something I can do for free, and this is what it costs, but you're my friend. You've been my friend for many years, and you're starting your own business, and I think that so much plays in the decision to say, yeah, absolutely, send me your stuff, let me take a look at it, and one of those things is I know that whatever kindness I do for someone is going to come back to me tenfold, you know, that whole idea of karma, and it really does.
Oh gosh, so true.
I love it. I was wondering if we could just pivot just for a second. You touched on something a moment, Judy, talking about a leasing professional. And I want to know what your perspective is, you know, on both sides. So we've kind of like highlighted perhaps on a industry partner side. What I've noticed, and I'd like to know what you think, if this is true or not, that whether we're trying to move our careers along or to what we've been discussing so far, we're trying to reach certain goals that our company has mandated, it seems to be like a room screech approach. It's like, okay, I've made my 10 contacts and that's it. I'm done networking for the month. And if I'm wanting to move my career path along, well, it's only when I'm looking for a job. I'm not looking for a job today, so I'm not networking with anybody. And only when it becomes like that imminent need do some take that approach of, well, I better start networking, versus it being a culture, a personal way of being human, mm-hmm. and always having that as a pattern or as a path when you're working with people. Do you see that? Do you feel like that in some instances it is more people need to get out of that, I only need to network when I need to, versus absolutely, what does my network need? What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. They do need to get out of that mindset of I'm going to network when I need to network, right? It is about building relationships, as Mark said, and it is about really thinking very long-term about it and thinking about those human interactions and developing new relationships and maintaining old relationships and nurturing all of that, thinking about it as an investment, right? Not only an investment in your company, but an investment in yourself and an investment in your career. And I'll tell you a great story about that. And while this is my story, I think it really is applicable to everyone. So as you said, 30 plus years in the industry, working for some really terrific companies along the way, having the opportunity to be very involved in NAA and NMHC and a lot of the local and state associations, meeting a lot of people, interacting with a lot of people. And over time, you build just really an enormous network. Now, this doesn't only apply to someone who's active at a national level, but at a local level, right? You're building that network, you're building those relationships. So for me, fast forward to what was very much an inflection point in my career, I had just left a year as a chief revenue officer with a company dealing in home media. Very challenging experience, knew after a year it really wasn't the right experience for me. And sat down, was talking with my husband, who's also in the industry. And he said, honey, you've been wanting to do your own thing for a long time. Now's the time. Everything's pointing you in this direction. And you know, that fills you with fear when you're thinking about making a big leap, and especially a big leap into your own business, right? No one to rely on, you got to earn your own way. But I'll tell you something, and I 100% attribute this to the fact that I was open to building relationships, not only with people who could help advance whatever company that I was working for, but with people in general in the industry, even when they had nothing in it for me, right?
Right.
So I hang my shingle as a consultant. All I did was put a post on LinkedIn. I put a post on Facebook. I have not had to market myself one tiny bit since. And I 100% attribute that to I have this unbelievable network of people. And either those people have come to me to get my help with whatever project, or they have referred me. And then the clients I've had referred me. And I've been very busy in 4 years, sometimes more than I even want to be, right? But that would not have happened if I hadn't been really open to meeting a lot of different kinds of people in the industry.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. You know, Jonathan, you said something about leasing consultants, and listening to Judy's story, it's interesting. Judy, had you ever worked out on site? Like, did you ever work in the...
You know, I never worked on site. I was always on the supplier side of the business, but when I started my career, of course, was calling on site almost exclusively. And I think you can't be in this industry for that long and not learn a lot about the business.
Sure. It's funny because listening to you, the same thing applies to anybody that's even out on site in a leasing capacity. I try to teach that to leasing consultants, that you should see every person that walks through your door as an opportunity to make a future sale. You know, that's what we're in business for, is to make money, is to get the sale, right? Well, you may not get them to lease, but there's no telling what you've done by extending that helpful, gracious hand of, you know what, you may not lease here, but you might know somebody that will. So I'm going to treat you really, really well, because this can come back to me somehow in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, And even, you know, like if I'm looking at leasing agents, property managers, regional directors, I encourage everyone to get out there and be involved. Be involved in your local association, be involved in your state association. If you have the opportunity, be involved in one of the national associations. This is not only good for you in the moment as a leasing agent with Cushman Wakefield, it's good for you in the long term. You're meeting people, you're developing relationships. You may hit a wall in your current position and start talking to other organizations. And you know what? I already know a regional director over here, and I've met the VP of multifamily over here, and that's going to at least get my foot in the door for an interview.
That's right. I spent some time recently out on site watching some, observing some leasing consultants, and I don't know what has shifted, and I won't say it's all or everywhere. I'll just say there's a small little shift where we seem to have gone away from that really great sort of idea that everyone I come in contact with is going to, could lead to a great relationship. And it's almost like this lackluster approach to sales. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't get my head around it. Like, come on guys, like show some enthusiasm, like get excited. Yeah. You have no idea who this person is or could know. And I looked at it. I remembered being back out on site, and look, I get it. Sometimes when you're on a busy property and you're taking 50 tours a day, it's exhausting. But I looked at it as it was my stage. You know, I was like, let me practice my craft of really getting to know people and win them over with my personality or in conversation. And so I looked, even when I knew I might not be able to get a sale from them, I looked at where was the gain for me in this interaction, in any type of networking or in a sales capacity. But for me, even if it's a total miss, and at least practice your craft, you know, practice
absolutely
getting to know people, like ask them more questions, see how far. And I've been accused of asking too many inappropriate questions or just too many questions in general. But I think through the years of sort of forcing myself to do that, because I wanted to get to know people on a deeper level, that I allowed myself to do it. And then I learned quickly what people did not want to talk about or what they were willing to. But that's how I learned. I just opened absolutely myself up to it.
Well, it is. I think it's how we all learn, right?
Yeah.
Listen, when I first stumbled my way into this industry, this is not a game plan. I was a journalism major. I was going to become the next Pulitzer Prize winning author, right? That didn't happen. And I actually ended up working for Apartment Guide in my very early career, about a year out of college. And I will tell you, I was very shy. I was not a terribly outgoing person. I would have never seen myself in any kind of sales arena whatsoever. But like I said, kind of fell into this, had an amazing mentor. And one of the things that she said to me that has always stuck with me, and I've applied it in every facet of my life, professionally and personally, is life is about a series of choices. Mm. So my personal philosophy there is choose to be happy. Choose to be engaging. I certainly had to make that choice when I fell into a selling position, right? I had to make the conscious choice that I was just going to be outgoing, and I was going to ask questions, and I was going to have a smile on my face, and I was not going to let anyone in the world know that I was actually this pretty shy person. And guess what? It fundamentally changed me, I will tell you, because as you guys know, I'm not shy. I'm totally comfortable in a room full of strangers going up and striking conversations. And those are the things you learn. It's this miraculous, organic teaching that comes to you in spades when you just put yourself out there, you make the choice to be positive, you make the choice to learn about other people. And you know, when you put that out there, when you show people you're interested in them, they become interested in you.
Jonathan, I think that's her tip for the day. I mean, that sounds so perfect. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. I think we almost skipped ahead to that, because yeah, that sounds awesome. I love it. And you know, maybe you'll have another one when we get towards the end of the show, but I love that kind of, and it, you were making me think, Judy, I always wonder, like, what's behind those decisions? What's behind those choices? Like, what is that motivating factor? And I think you've eloquently kind of like isolated where that attitude needs to spring from. It's like, you know, it's like taking in a deep breath. Like, you just got to reach down inside of you to be able to really feel what it means to truly network and connect with people and be in service to the industry. Because if your personality is just, you know, we'll go back to the sales example. Okay, my company says I need to make 10 contacts and record it in my CRM. Okay, then I'm done for the month. That's not going to cut it. So I guess that's what I'm hearing you say. In order to have like longevity to that aura mm-hmm. or that attitude, it needs to go deeper. Wouldn't you agree in order to
absolutely
that person?
And yeah, what you say is right on target, Jonathan. And there are a lot of companies out there who have the culture of achieving metrics. And I think that's on the supplier side and on the owner operator side, right? It's about achieving metrics. And so I'm going to go meet my 10 people and put that in Salesforce, or I'm going to shoot for 15 showings this month right. and put that in the system. But it really is so much more than that. And so what I would encourage people to do is, if they are in that kind of culture, okay, you know, recognize it and you have to perform to those metrics, right? But also get yourself mentally out of that culture, right? Just because your company says meet and talk to 10 people doesn't mean that you have to stop there, right? Because if you have the opportunity to do more than that, by all means, do more than that. What else are you going to do sitting around at a dinner meeting, right? Talk to people.
Right. Right. And I appreciate that a lot, because I've looked back, Mark and I have both been in sales. You've been in sales. I think everybody at some point, no matter what kind of our career we have, we are doing sales. We are in that, we're trying to create business. And I've often reflected on, okay, well, from a metric standpoint, this is what I accomplished. But then there's all the things that you don't write down. And I think that's what you're really helping our audience appreciate today.
Right.
It's like there's just all of these conversations that you naturally are conditioning yourself that way, that they do, they come mm-hmm. back around, and you don't have to fight for those metrics for that given month that we know companies right. require, because I mean, that's just part of the transactional component of how any business works. So I love it. I think that's just great. Just having that mindset really sets the stage for overall career success.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to put an exclamation point on something that you just said, Jonathan, yes, we have those metrics. I certainly don't want to downplay that, because it is important to meet the metrics that your company, your employer lays out for you. But when you think beyond that, when you think, if I'm going to a dinner meeting and, you know, an association dinner meeting, and I'm meeting people, I'm just going to meet as many people as I can.
Yeah.
And when you do that consistently, all of a sudden you don't have to try so hard anymore, mm-hmm. right?
That's
because
right.
it happens. And people you meet pull their friend over and say, hey, here's Mark Howell. You need to know him. Right. And it just starts to happen much more organically. It makes it easier on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you bring up a good point. And it's funny though, I like to be on that side of, this is, you know, Mark Howell, you need to know him, or this is Judy Bellick, you need to know her. Because I know that when I'm introducing someone to Judy Bellick, I know hands down that you are going to treat them with compassion and care and kindness, and right. it comes from a loving place. I hate it when there are some people that we might tend to avoid, you know, like, because we don't have that sort of natural nurturing sort of personality. But I think that would be my advice is, networking to me is what you are saying. It's all about being just an organic, good person, and that everything from a sales point comes from that sort of introduction of this is a really good person. You know, like, I trust them. I think that I can work with them. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, it shouldn't always be, hey, here's Mark Howell. He has this really amazing company and you need to talk to him about what he does. It should often be, hey, here's Mark Howell. He's a great friend of mine. I can't believe you don't know him. You guys need to chat.
Yeah.
That's where it should come from, right? Yeah.
I was talking to another vendor partner after the dinner association meeting just recently here, and we all had gone out for drinks. And this young man had just been in the industry for 3 weeks, and he started on the vendor side. And I remembered looking at him thinking, God love you. You know, I was like, welcome to the party. And then I said, you know what, listen, I know we don't sell the same things, but I said, please know that if I in any way can help you introduce you to someone or help you along in your path, that I kind of feel like is part of the reason I've continued to stay in this industry for 20 something plus years, is that I do want to like my quote, I want to be able to leave this world thinking that I left more than I took. And I look at people now very differently and think, you know, there've been so many great people in my path that whatever I can do to help grow their business, I want to be a part of. So
yes, absolutely. I hear you on that. And I think we share that philosophy very much. Absolutely. So, yeah. And you know, it always makes me think, I'm going to really date myself, but there was a gentleman in the industry. He won the NAA Hall of Fame award posthumously. He was an amazing man. Tony Pusateri was a leader with Equity Management for many, many years. And unfortunately, Tony had brain cancer some years ago and died. To this day, when people talk about icons in this industry, they talk about Tony Pusateri. He had such a rich life. He was a very high level executive with Equity when I first came into the business. He was so gracious to me at an NAA event. He didn't know me from Adam. Someone happened to introduce me. He wanted to know all about me and what did I do. And I remember that to this day, because here's a guy who everybody wanted to talk to, everybody wanted a piece of, right? He was always so gracious, and that was really his hallmark. And I think people remember him now, not only because he was such a mover and shaker in the business, but because he was such an amazing human being.
That's
a nice way to be remembered.
Yes. That's a great story. That's a great story. I love it. I think that resonates with our audience, Judy. That's just an awesome, both the stories, your personal one and Mr. Pusateri as well. That's fantastic. And we thank you for all of your insights. I wanted to just pivot, you know, I don't want to run out of time. Not that we can go on forever, I'm sure, right, Mark? We can talk about networking for more hours.
We could.
Well, we just have so much, you know. I was listening to your story, Judy, and just thinking, okay, yeah, that's worked well for me. And I've only been in the industry for about a little less than 15 years now. You know, I've come from a couple of different career paths, and it works. It works. And the beauty of being able to help other people, to what Mark said, to like the newer ones in the industry, it strengthens our industry. And the more people that participate with that mindset of helping each other, building each other up, helping someone find that new job, especially through these challenging times, it just helps you sleep better at night. You know,
absolutely. And I will definitely leave you with one final thought, and it's going to be super corny, but it is super true. And that is simply when you're thinking about networking, when you're thinking about your interaction in this industry, remember the golden rule, right?
Yeah.
Treat people the way you would like to be treated. And I think if you think about that, like if you do a little bit of preparation before any time you're in some type of a group setting, and you just say that to yourself, I'm going to treat people the way that I would like to be treated in a situation.
That's really awesome.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Love it. Yeah. Before you go though, you and I, when we're talking on the pre-show, getting ready for our show today, you mentioned you're involved in a nonprofit, and I know our audience needs to hear this. So can you give us the kind of highlights of what you're doing and what's it about?
Oh, thank you so much for asking me about it. It's something I'm so excited about. And again, this opportunity would not have happened for me without networking. So the company, the organization is Michelson Found Animals Foundation, which I know is a little bit of a mouthful. They're part of the larger Michelson Philanthropies, but they do a lot in the animal welfare space. The initiative that I'm involved in is called the Pet Inclusive Housing Initiative. So that's aimed mainly at multifamily. And it really is all about providing research data and resources to the industry to create better pet communities out there. If you look at the industry, I would say the vast majority of communities do accept pets. I want to say it's like 75%, something like that, will accept cats or dogs or both. But almost all communities have breed restrictions and weight restrictions. Despite the fact that all the data does not really support that, right? And so Michelson is really just interested in having a conversation with the industry about those rules and providing some color around that, right? Because the belief really is, and all the data points to the fact that there really aren't bad breeds, right? There are dogs who maybe have not been trained well by their owners, or who have not been treated well by their owners. And then you wind up with horrible situations where people get bitten or mauled. If you look at our shelters right now, you'll see that the vast majority of dogs who are there are pit bull or mixed breeds that have been surrendered because people cannot find housing because those breeds are restricted. And so again, Michelson just is interested in being a resource, and we're starting to see a lot of movement. MAA, for example, huge company, no breed restrictions, no weight restrictions. But it's not simply about just getting rid of the restrictions, right? And saying, have a nice day. It's about, okay, what are the things that we need to do as owners and operators to make sure that we are creating safe pet communities, right? And it's about having a contract with that resident that says, if you're a pet owner, these are the things you're going to do. You know, you're going to keep your dog on a leash. You're going to pick up after your dog. You'll be responsible for any damage your dog creates and those kinds of things. So, you know, that was an introduction that was made for me by Linnell Taylor Marketing that I had networked with many, many times throughout my career. And when they were looking for someone to be their face in the industry, they recommended me to Michelson. So I'm super excited. It's just a fun thing at the stage of my career to be involved with something that isn't about selling a product or a service, right? It's actually about creating more homes for pets and making the world a little bit better place.
I love that.
Yes. I didn't know that you were involved in that. And it makes perfect sense to me because you are such an animal lover. So,
wonderful. Big time.
And let me tell you, I've been more scared of some of these little handheld chihuahuas than I have a pit bull. Those things are vicious.
Yes. So. Let me just tell you, well, smaller dogs are generally noisier. it's funny because like the weight restrictions for one, you know, so I have a cousin who has a beautiful mastiff, lives in an apartment, found an apartment that would accept his 120-pound dog, because, you know, normally the weight restrictions are somewhere around 40 or 50 pounds. This dog is like couch potato, which most larger dogs are, right? It's right. Actually smaller dogs that do more damage, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all about education now, and we don't want to restrict the little dogs either, right? But again, just a fun thing to be involved in. And they are not from the industry, so I'm helping them understand the industry and you know, how to talk to the industry.
Love it. Incredible. We'll definitely include those links in the show notes. Thank you for sending those over before the show so people can get to know it. So kudos to you. Awesome. Thank you for the tips as well.
Guys,
how can people connect with you? Can you tell us what your website is? Can people connect with you?
Sure. On social? Absolutely. So my website is JL, as in Judith Lawrence Associates, which is the name of my company. So jladvise.com. Judy@JLAdvise is my email. You can really easily find me by my name on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. So please do connect with me. As you know, I love to network and I love to be helpful. So I appreciate anybody who reaches out to me, and I will definitely respond.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Judy. Thank you for being a guest.
Thank you, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mark, how can people connect with you, my friend?
Absolutely. So Mark Howell, Howell Creative Concepts actually is my company name. It's spelled H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon though. So it's howellcreativeconcepts.com. You can reach me, email me at mark@howellcreativeconcepts.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn. So please, like Judy said, I'm always interested in having great conversations about helping one another, anything about the industry, or really just personal, professional growth. So yes, you can reach me that way.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate everyone on the show today. And for those of our listeners, please give us a review. Follow us on your favorite podcast listening station. Follow us on YouTube, on Instagram @JuvoHub. My name is Jonathan Sarr. This has been episode 37. Talking about the benefits of networking with Judy Bellick. So please take a look at her website and connect with her on her social channels. So thank you everyone for being here. We'll see you on our next episode.